Support for Talking Art on WVIK comes from the people at Quad City Bank and Trust, helping the local community with their banking and financial needs for more than 20 years. Information is at qcbt.com. Support also comes from the estate of Margaret Skinner, a longtime friend of WVIK and lover of the arts.
This is Carolyn Martin, and I'm talking art today with Sean Moeller, the Quad City music entrepreneur who will soon be opening his latest performance venue in East Moline, the Rust Belt. Welcome, Sean.
Hey, thanks for having me.
The Rust Belt fits a niche in terms of venue size that the Quad Cities hasn't had before. What prompted you to open this, and what are your hopes for it?
The size of this place, it's not even that the Quad Cities hasn't had it before. I think this is, it's going to be kind of a rare establishment in just the Midwest in general. You really have to get into Chicago to see, any sort of venues of this size. Really the idea behind it is, just filling a void. I think the Quad Cities has not had many opportunities to get some of the artists that we're going to be bringing to this venue. They're obviously overlooking this place because there wasn't a room of the capacity that we're going to offer. And, the Rust Belt, the size of it, while at the high end is large, we can also shrink it.
And what's the high end, would you say?
The high end's about 4,000. I think it's actually a little bit higher than that, but we're kind of going to be conservative at the beginning. Just with our square footage, I think that's a very comfortable number where nobody's going to feel crammed in there. I think we actually probably have legitimate capacity for a few thousand more if we wanted to. But the idea is that we can kind of service any band between about 800 capacity up to 4,000. And, for me as a booker, that opens up a lot of doors. And especially at that 4,000 range, you start unlocking a lot of possibilities that were, previously just unattainable. Mm-hmm. We're talking about, kind of bands that are household names but can't fill arenas, and that's a huge number of artists.
As is so often the case, construction projects run into delays. I think you'd originally planned an opening perhaps this month in December, but it's being pushed back a little bit now. When do you anticipate opening?
We're looking at, we should have everything kind of delivered to us by early January, but then we're going to take a little time and plan on opening in February, so early February.
Great. That's so we'll have something to look forward to in the cold months of February.
Yeah.
What types of music will people be able to hear there?
We're going to do everything. That's the beautiful thing. There's a lot of artists that haven't been able to play around here because we haven't had the capacity. So I really want to mix it up. We're going to have big country shows there, big rock and roll shows there, big folk shows there, big R&B shows there, big hip hop shows there. We're going to
quite a range.
Everything. Anything you can imagine. So, we'll take requests.
You've described the feel of this new place as raw and gritty.
Yeah. I think the Rust Belt is, you're going to feel like you're in an old factory because you are. But you can also feel a little bit of an escapism, but maybe it's more like escape from New York rather than escape from the office. It's going to be different, but similar in really, I think, very telling ways where I think people are going to walk into this place and feel like they're in a different city. I think you're going to feel like you walked into Brooklyn, New York, mm-hmm. And not scary Brooklyn, but like kind of the cool Brooklyn, the Brooklyn that everybody wants to celebrate now. It's going to catch people off guard, and I think everybody's going to really like it.
I'm so anxious to see this come to fruition. It's right on 12th Avenue near the 7th Street intersection in East Moline. And it's this series of kind of low-slung buildings with this really cool brick exterior. Mm-hmm. And then the interior, too, has exposed brick and exposed rafters.
Yeah.
And it does have that really industrial feel. That your analogy to some of the buildings that are being redone in Brooklyn, I think, is really apt. And it's so easy to get to.
Yeah.
It's just about a mile further down the road from Western Illinois. It's in East Moline.
Yeah.
But it's really close to the river, so it's quite accessible.
Yeah, you know, I mean, where it sits on the river, you know, is that one part in the river that goes east and west, which I think is really cool. You know, just to have that sort of topography of, you know, here's where we are on this, you know, really famous river that we kind of take for granted a little bit. But it is really easy to get to, and I think that's one of the things I'm most excited about too. Not just the names and the people we're going to be bringing to town, but I think it's really going to open people's eyes to East Moline. As mm-hmm. I mean, it's been the forgotten city for the longest time. I mean, I think they'd probably argue that they've never gotten the recognition that they were due as one of the Quad Cities. And you know, East Moline's got a really cool mom and pop little downtown, and I think it's been underutilized, and I think it's going to be really fun for people to kind of discover not just, you know, what we're going to do with the Rust Belt and the little village down there, but just all the little haunts in downtown East Moline.
Yeah, when the Case IH plant closed, it was pretty devastating economically to East Moline, and then it was actually demolished completely. Yep. I believe it. East Moline is really undergoing a renaissance of sorts, and the Quad City Times recently had a very big story that was detailed, that was lovely, and described so much of the new development underway. So let's talk about some of the other businesses that are being built down there now that will pull people over to East Moline and provide some additional visibility for your venue.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the whole complex is going to be pretty eclectic. I mean, there's going to be a lot of stuff down there. We don't necessarily have everything filled out as far as who's plugged into the certain spaces, but there's going to be a brewery down there. There's going to be a restaurant down there eventually, sometime in 2019. There's going to be a CrossFit gym. We're working on a retail shoe store. We're working on kind of a bookstore, like a used bookstore and a new bookstore. There's going to be a coffee house down there with a drive-through. Streamline Architects have a fabrication company where they make really, really great furniture and chairs and tables and all kinds of things. And so a lot of the spots down there are going to have their furniture in the spots with price tags on it. So if you like, you can kind of, you can buy it on spot.
Yeah, that's great. We're going to be speaking with Andrew Dasso from Streamline in January, and I'm looking forward to that conversation. The brewery is Midwest Ale Works, I understand.
That's correct.
And then there's this beautiful Hyatt Hotel. I've not gone inside yet, but it's being built very close to your venue as well.
Yeah, it's not far. It's, you know, my business partner, Larry Anderson, he's also part of that project. And yeah, the hotel's probably, I don't know, 1,000 feet away. It's going to be really nice. I mean, once all the dust is settled, there's going to be some really nice connectivity between just all of the projects down there. Obviously, there's a lot happening with the Bend that's not necessarily part of what we're doing with the Little Village section, but, you know, we're all going to be sort of working in collaboration with each other constantly just because it makes the most sense. I mean, we're going to be working on kind of package deals with the Hyatt, you know, for people coming to our shows from out of town and working on a ticket room package sort of situation. So, I mean, even people in town, if they just want to have a little staycation, you know, with, hey, we're going to go to that show and then we can just walk to the hotel after that. I think there's going to be a lot of really interesting opportunities. But, you know, the hotel's turning out beautiful, and I guess we'll all get to really see it 2 weeks from now, I think, is when the official grand opening is. So yeah. It's going
to
be fun.
I can't wait to see it. It's been described, at least, as very modern with these geometric design elements, lots of natural light.
It's something really cool. I mean, all the rooms have a river view, which is really cool. And that top floor is really beautiful. It's kind of a staggering sort of view of the river. I don't think there's really another one like it in the Quad Cities. It's gorgeous.
Well, this is a great time for us really to be living in the Quad Cities. And this kind of urban rebirth is so exciting. I spoke with Benjamin Fox, who owns Roztex, a year ago, and we talked about this. I think it's an urban planning term called a creative placemaking. And I think your development fits this. It's the idea that artistic and cultural activities strengthen a community and can really bring true economic change to, you know, to an area that was previously abandoned and blighted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's just so beautiful.
I think so. You know, I think I say it a fair amount of time, at least in my head or whatever. But, you know, I'm not just putting bands into rooms and putting on concerts. I think it's a lot more than that. And, you know, I feel like the momentum's in our direction. You know, we still need quite a few people to like really understand what's happening around here, because I think these artists and these people coming to town to perform here, you know, if you look at tour itineraries, most cities don't get these people to come here, you know, and it's special and it should be kind of embraced. And when you do have people of kind of the stature of bands that we're getting to town, you know, currently at Codfish Hollow, but soon at the Rust Belt, you know, these are the things that make people move to cities, live in cities, stay in cities, raise their families there, decide not to leave. And they aren't just concerts. I think it just bleeds into every part of just your social well-being, your mental fitness, your excitement about where you live. You know, there are plenty of like decent sized cities, you know, that are even bigger than us that don't get these people to come visit them. And, you know, I really think it should be taken advantage of a little bit more. I mean, and I'm not trying to bellyache at all. I think we're getting to that point where, if people really think about what that means, that band is here this, you know, that night, it's a big deal. You know, they can only be in one place. Yeah. And, to see East Moline or Davenport or Maquoketa, Iowa on a tour routing that's just filled with Chicago's, New York's, you know, Milwaukee's, and nothing in between, that's a huge testament to kind of what we're building here. And I think it's going to get, I think in the next 10 years, I mean, we're going to see a pretty serious population explosion here. I mean, is it ever going to be something like Denver or Austin? No. Just as far as sheer numbers, no. I mean, those cities have an infrastructure that's just greater than we could ever build here, really. But could we have a mini version of that? Absolutely. I mean, I could definitely see us having something very similar to Nashville, Tennessee, mm-hmm. you know, where that has become such a hotspot in the last 5 years, where it wasn't, you know, for the longest time. Yeah, it had its heyday, and then it went dark too. And all it takes is, you know, a handful of people doing some really interesting things, and you can really spark maybe not a revolution, but at least a revitalization of people living there and also kind of deciding to like add on, you know, contribute something to making it even bigger and more vibrant.
Absolutely. You know, people see this and then it gives them the courage to take on another big project.
And it should. Yeah. You know, I mean, I think that's the way everything actually survives. You know, I mean, we talk about it a lot just with the things that we're building in downtown Davenport. Please, more restaurants, more venues, more bars, more, you know, reasons for people to not just have a boring, I'm going home after work and staying home after work. I mean, you have plenty of great reasons now to kind of live fuller, mm-hmm. I think, yeah. You know? I mean, it is not a depressing place. You know, this is a very alive place now, and it should be taken advantage of.
Absolutely. How many concerts do you anticipate having there a month, say?
We're hoping 4 to 5, you know, and those would be kind of varying, you know, sizes. You know, I'd like, you know, if I had it my way, I'd like to have one that's one a month that's always kind of on that higher side of, you know, close to the 4,000 cap range, and then everything else can kind of fit in, you know, maybe a couple 800,000, 2,000 mm-hmm. Shows. But that's the plan, you know. I mean, I think getting started, you know, we'll ease into it, and by summer, I think we'll see those numbers, you know, kind of where we want it to be. You know, very similar to kind of what we do at Codfish Hollow during the season out there. We do about 4 a month out there, so it'll be similar to that.
Yeah. What do you think the price point will be for tickets?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, these are going to be bigger bands, but I think, you know, I want to keep our price point at a Quad City rate, you know? So I think most shows are going to be in the $30 to $40 range. Mm-hmm. So, you know,
pretty reasonable.
pretty dang affordable. Yeah.
Absolutely. And you have a season ticket that's available as well.
We do, yeah. We're kind of getting close to getting rid of those. So, you know, if anybody wants to lock in for a year, they should, because I think they're going to go pretty quickly once we start really announcing who's playing there.
Mm-hmm. One thing I love about your venues is that you're not just stuck in a seat. Now, there won't be any seating here, right?
No, there won't.
People will be able to move around,
yep,
mill around, go up to the bars and get, yep, a drink, come back and stand with your friends. And,
exactly.
So it just enhances the social aspect of a performance.
I think so. I mean, I think it's, you know, there are certain shows that should be in theaters, you know, and then there's a whole lot of them that shouldn't, you know. And, you know, I think the same goes for arenas. You know, I think I like going to a show where I'm not stuck somewhere. You know, you don't want to have to ask people to stand up so they can go, you know, get a drink. There's a time and place for that. I like creating places that, you know, you can be more social and you can kind of move around. You can go to a different spot in the venue if you want. You can see it from a different angle. And I think it's interesting because I think the Rust Belt is certainly the biggest venue by far that I've ever built. But there's a lot of really good angles in the place, and I think it's going to be fun for people to sort of move around and explore, you know, kind of different sight lines and see things. You know, we have a lot of really good spots in the place that I think are going to be really fun to watch, mm-hmm, a show from.
Yeah, great. This is just one of a long succession of places that you have founded and created. Where do you get your energy, and are you constantly thinking about your next adventure?
I don't know where I get my energy. I don't really sleep a ton, so it's not from sleep. I don't really like sleep. I just, you know, I'm excited to just, I don't know what it is. It's not even about leaving a mark. I just, you know, we all have limited time, and I just get excited about the people I get to be around every day. You know, I'm out at a concert, you know, most nights a week, and I never get tired of it. You know, there's, you know, certain days where like, oh man, it's been a long 2 weeks or a long 3 weeks, and you just need maybe one day to recharge. But it's a people thing. I mean, these artists that we bring in almost unanimously are interesting people. They're fun. You know, they're great to talk to. They're out there just kind of living their dreams too, and just plugging away and trying to make things happen. You know, they're chasing something the same way I'm chasing something. And I think a lot of times you don't really even know what it is you're chasing. I really don't. I'm trying to, you know, this is the place I've always wanted to live. I was born here, and you know, I could say something like I saw a need or, you know, something to fill, but that's not what I did. I'm just chasing whatever I'm chasing. You know, I'm trying to create this environment that I want to not just live in, but, you know, a place where I just want to smile every day. You know, I just want to like have fun every day. And I think if fun can be your work and if fun can, you know, feed your family, that's the best, you know. And I think a lot of people have, you know, they have different definitions of fun. I mean, there are people that work at John Deere and, you know, do a completely different thing than me, you know, and they have fun. And I think, you know, if you find that thing that brings you joy and is fulfilling, I mean, that's what keeps me fired up. I mean, I know every day, you know, until we get to the point where, see, it's not even about selling tickets for me, but it's like if there are any tickets left, I feel like I didn't do a good enough job because I know the product I'm putting on that stage and I know it's that good. So if there are tickets left, that means that there are a few people that didn't get to enjoy this thing that I, you know, that I think was really,
that you really
beneficial,
created and, yeah,
you know, something that I think they can take home with them to make their life better. You know, I think, you know, it's like we sell fun and I think a lot of people don't take the time to like actually like inject that into their lives. You know, I mean, it's very easy to get caught up in the mundane, you know, tricking yourself into thinking that the responsibilities are too great, that you can't allow yourself time on a Tuesday night to go have fun, you know, that it's maybe not worth it or that you'll pay for it the next day. And I just don't think that's ever a true statement. I think people rarely regret, you know, coming out and doing something that's for entertainment purposes, mm-hmm, you know? I mean, there's plenty of other things you regret, but I don't think it's that. I don't think going to a concert or going to a movie or, getting together with some friends for a couple of drinks on a non-Friday or Saturday night you ever really regret.
Yeah. No, yeah. I don't think so either. But your passion has really allowed us to have these all these great experiences, and we're very thankful for that.
Well, I hope so.
Yeah. How did you decide on the name The Rust Belt?
You know, that's just really kind of where that place where it's situated. I think where that building's been plopped down, I mean, that's the actual building, the complex that we're in has been built kind of over time. But the building that the Rust Belt is in was built in 1880, which is obviously a long time ago. But all that stuff has sort of been there. And obviously there have been other plants and factories around there that are now torn down or repurposed for other things. But, you know, the Case IH plant was there. And, you know, it just seemed fitting that we would kind of, you know, salute, I guess, the factory culture of you know, that basically built, you know, that area of East Moline. And, you know, there was it was an old automobile manufacturing plant, too. They made a car called the Moline Knight. And, you know, we just kind of wanted to celebrate that a little bit. We're still trying to find one of those cars. So
I'd never heard of that before.
I'm sure a lot of them are rusted out, and we won't be able to find it very easily, but we're going to try.
Mm-hmm. Well, Sean Moeller, thank you so much for talking today and for bringing such a vibrant music scene to the Quad Cities.
My pleasure.
The Rust Belt will be opening soon. You can check out their schedule at MoellerKnights.com. That's Moeller, M-O-E-L-L-E-R, Knights.com. And while you are there, spend some extra time in East Moline checking out the creative changes that are happening there. This has been Carolyn Martin, talking art in the Quad Cities for WVIK. Our theme music is provided by a Quad City legend, the late Ellis Kell.